Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Your 5 to 9 news feed on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Somebody put the grill on. It's time for pancakes. But they're not healthy. But I love pancakes at breakfast. Our deal boss, Matt, I love breakfast, granite. What do we got this morning?
Oh, we're talking pancakes, waffles, muffins, guaranteed to help you lose weight and delicious.
Wait a minute. I've not heard that before. What'd you find?
I found something that I actually wanted to verify. It's a trending breakfast bargain, been on the market for a little bit, one of the top sellers in the world right now, actually. And it is a waffle and pancake mix that takes all of the items that aren't so friendly to our waistline and then kind of redefines the ingredients to the point where it tastes delicious to us, but will actually help you lose weight.
Really? Okay. So gluten-free, cholesterol, all that stuff we don't worry about?
Yeah, gluten-free, cholesterol-free, keto-friendly, sucralose-free, like everything you would paleo-friendly. It really comes down to what's made in this. So this is a great-tasting pancake and waffle mix made from egg protein. And egg protein is like the highest type of protein you can buy. No one will ever bother to put this into because it's so much easier to add filler.
Mm-hmm.
You take this with almond flour. Keep in mind, almond flour has zero grams of added sugars.
That's a good one. Yeah.
It's a really good one. And then you mix it together with a bunch of chefs. And the amazing thing is I actually had a couple of nutritionists and even a doctor weigh in for today's segment. The amazing thing about this pancake mix, where you really just add water, is it also contains eggs. So you don't need to do anything to it. It's delicious. It allows you to make those waffles, those pancakes, those muffins. Oh. They're fluffy. Oh. And yet, good for you.
The deal, boss. This may be the best I've heard this year. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save. Watch him there this morning. Couple of clicks, back to school in a couple of weeks. You want to have some nice pancakes for the kids that you don't feel guilty about feeding them? Well, this may be the deal for you. Watch him on 3 this morning. Back here same time tomorrow, we get some saving green for green thumbs, I think, right?
Oh, you know it. Back to the garden.
A little tech. Thanks, Matt.
Awesome.
Mike Snyder's got your sports mornings, 15 and 45 past. Morning, pal.
Good morning, Bill. He was the 15th pick in the 2016 NFL draft, and in 2 years, Corey Coleman played 19 games, had 56 catches, 718 yards, and 5 touchdowns, and a drop that might have prevented a winless Browns season. While Corey Coleman, no longer a member of the Browns, traded by the team yesterday to the Buffalo Bills for a future late-round draft pick. They're not going to get much back, but they're cutting their ties. Coleman, in his third year, trying to make it happen. Happened and has had some hamstring issues, did not even really play in the scrimmage the Browns had on Friday. So the Browns moving on without Corey Coleman. More on the Browns in a moment. The Ohio State Buckeyes will continue their preseason training camp this morning. The university says the investigation into Urban Meyer's handling of a domestic abuse complaint will be completed in 14 days, but training camp does go on. At Sauna Lake Progressive Field yesterday, the only guy hotter than this hot weather this year is Jose Ramirez.
Swung in and belted to deep right, away, way back, gone. Jose Ramirez hits number 33.
He's something that gave the Indians that 3-0 lead. The Tribe then struggled to score from that point on, but they do eke out a 4-3 win over the Angels to get the series. Shane Bieber in the bullpen getting the job done. Indians now begin a series with the Twins tonight at 7:10 with Trevor Bauer on the mound for the Tribe. At Firestone, Justin Thomas at 15-under pulled away for a 4-shot win of the final Bridgestone Invitational. Tiger Woods really struggled over the weekend, finished 15 back at even par, but he looked back at his days here.
I'm going to miss this place. You know, I'm going to miss playing here. I'm going to miss the people. And I've had so many great memories. And it's just it's sad that we're not coming back here anymore.
Yeah, it is. And he provided so many of those. And I know they're going to do a great job with the senior event coming up. But kind of a bittersweet weekend. My gosh, great crowds. They just do the tournament so right. I was down there Saturday. They do just a great job. And I know they'll continue to do that. The PGA Tour this week will be the final major of the PGA. Cavaliers look like they're going to add another young forward as they are finalizing a deal with the Clippers for Sam Decker. You may recall he was pretty good in college with Wisconsin. Wisconsin, and he has had a rather quiet beginning to his NBA career in Houston, and the Clippers Cavs going to give him a shot here. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM 1100. Time for a Browns training camp report brought to you by your fantasy football destination, Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings, Beer, Sports. The Browns have parted ways with underachieving wide receiver Corey Coleman. One thing they have this year, though, is an all-pro caliber leader in Jarvis Landry, who has achieved that status through hard work, as Hugh Jackson puts it about Landry.
He does it every day. I mean, he works at it. I mean, the guy will stay after him, go to the jugs machine and catch anywhere from 200, 300 balls. That's just how important it is to him. So as you see, if the ball's anywhere around him, there's a good chance he's going to come up with it.
After a day off, the Browns will practice today. Their first preseason game is Thursday night against the Giants. With your Browns update, I'm Mike Snyder.
Some of the noise over the weekend, President Trump tweeting, Junior met, but there's no big deal on that meeting. Also, when it comes to Mueller and the investigation.
Well, you have to look at the totality.
Yeah,
so when you look at a meeting, George, that took place in two years ago, the question is, what law, statute, or rule or regulation has been violated? Nobody's pointed to one.
That's Jay Sekulow. We've got Bill Zimfer this morning. Speaking of Mueller, we've got this Manhattan madam now. What's the latest on her?
Well, yet another character, colorful character, added to this cast here, Bill. Kristen Davis is known as the Manhattan Madam, a one-time vice president of a hedge fund company, later started an escort service in New York. That was eventually busted. She was arrested, then ran for governor of New York in 2010. So what is her connection to this whole thing? Well, the Mueller team has interviewed her on a voluntary basis. She is an associate of Roger Stone. He advised her run for governor, her campaign in 2010. She ended up on his payroll in 2016, and they may want to know what she knows about Roger Stone and his interaction with Russian hackers and Julian Assange of WikiLeaks, and what he may know about that famous 2016 Trump Tower meeting. So, an association there.
Meanwhile, Venezuela on watch after what happened.
Well, I can say unequivocally there was no U.S. government involvement in this at all. Look, it could be a lot of things from a pretext set up by the Maduro regime itself to something else.
National Security Advisor John Bolton, set this up for me. This was an assassination attempt, and maybe we don't believe it?
Yeah, reported assassination attempt that happened Saturday evening as Maduro was delivering a live televised speech in Caracas, Venezuela. Government says a couple of drones loaded with over 2 pounds of C4 explosive went off near the president. They say one of them was intercepted electronically. The other crashed into an apartment building. But there are those who say that it may have been a gas tank explosion in that apartment building, and those who say this whole thing was staged so that Maduro could crack down even more on political opponents and gain more power for himself. But this remains the fact, Bill. Right now, Venezuela is on the verge of a major upheaval in the midst of a perfect storm of economic collapse, political corruption, and spiraling crime out of control.
Busy news morning. Bill Zimfer with the update on a couple. Bill, thanks.
You're welcome. Twist
for your brain.
Oh, the offer to switch banks. They're going to give you $200 up front if you switch that checking account. Have you seen those ads pop up on your smartphone? Melanie Ross at NCA Financial Planners with us this morning on WTAM 1100 on some of these promotions. Hi, Melanie.
Hey, Bill.
Okay, first of all, a lot of them are out there. I think I read a story one time. We are the most loyal to banks. I guess we sign up with a bank and we bank with them forever. And so it's hard to get people to move. So they offer some of these cash promotions sometimes to get you to move, right?
Right.
And some of these offers may look good, but as you're pointing out, be aware of some things at any bank, including, let's just start with the cost of them keeping my money, the fees, huh?
Right. So, you know, a lot of the banks that offer the sign-up bonuses, they require you to do some things. They require you to maintain a minimum balance or you'll pay a monthly fee. So if you're not ready for this or, you know, able to maintain the balance that's required, then that monthly fee will eat into your bonus, which may just mean that a free checking account at another bank without a sign-up promotion is the better deal for you.
Great point. Now, a lot of these bonuses, I'll just throw out the term $500. Nothing's free. Do I have to pay tax on that?
Yes, you do.
Oh.
So sign-up bonuses that you receive for opening an account or just making a deposit are considered interest income, which is subject to taxes. So the bank's going to send you a 1099 for this, just like they do when you earn interest from a CD. And you're going to have to report that on your tax return. So, you know, that sign-up bonus of $50, let's say, that may end up being more like $35 after tax.
It's always something. We've got four tips from Melanie, thinking through some of these bank promotions, bank fees, taxes. Okay, just the extra work, you say, too?
Yeah, some banks really make you work for that extra cash, like requiring you to, you know, enroll in their direct deposit program or requiring that you complete a certain number of actions with your debit card. So you just have to decide if all this work is worth the extra cash.
The term interest rate, you know, for a generation, I think a lot of people didn't even think about it because the interest rates have been so low, they haven't moved much, but they're starting to move up a little. And that does mean a lot for banking and as well as these type of offers as well, Melanie?
They're starting to move up, especially with online banks. So if you have a lot to deposit, like $25,000, for example, a sign-up bonus of $250 won't mean as much if the bank is offering a very low interest rate. A $250 bonus won't make up for 1.5% to 2% annual yield that you could get at another bank.
Good tips. Good points. Yeah. Okay. Just kind of be aware and don't click and get that offer right away. You want to think
right.
It through. Yeah.
And the bottom line, though, with all this is that, you know, before you commit to a bank sign-up bonus, read the fine print, consider all the factors, and make sure you can meet all the requirements.
Good points. You might even call your current bank. Say, hey, I'm thinking of moving. What do you got going? You know?
Exactly. Negotiate.
Give me something. All right. Melanie Ross at NCA Financial Planners. Good tips. Thanks, Melanie.
Thanks, Bill.
Well, Bill, you could probably give this segment because you've done this successfully for a few kids.
All right. The budgeting of going back to college. Kevin Myroff at NCA Financial Planners. All right. Let's start with the word budget, I think, in Greek means plan. I just made that up. But you say you have to have a plan, right?
Yeah. I mean, before the child even steps foot at school, whether it's their first year, second, or third, there needs to be a parental discussion. So sit down with your child ahead of time and at least have a discussion. And we're going to start talking about what's in that discussion in a minute.
Okay. Now, we're going to school. We've borrowed money. And you say right up front, this should be a part of the discussion every time you're heading back to school or every year as far as what you're planning. Keep in mind what that loan debt's going to be, right?
Right. I mean, every year you got to look at it. And then you got to sit down with your child. And if you're doing this yourself, and there's lots of calculators online to do this, at the end of your college education, how much debt are you going to have, and how much a month is that going to cost you? Is it going to cost you $500, $1,000, $2,000? Because that'll affect where you live, what kind of type of cars you buy, what type of job you get. Those are all important things to know ahead of time.
And understand how those loans will fit into your budget and what job you think you're going to get out of college. I mean, if you rack up $100,000 in debt and you're going to make 25 G's, I mean, it's one thing to like the job, but you still got to pay the debt back, right?
That's right, and you should think of that before you go to college, because if you want to have a job that's low-paying but you just love what it is, well, then you just got to go to a cheaper college.
Okay, creating a budget for the school year, sending your son or daughter off, understand costs. You've got to understand costs, too. There can be a lot of surprises when they're away at college.
That's right, and so not only did you talk about debt, but now we're going to talk about how you're going to spend your money at school. You know, we paid for your meal plan, but how many times are you going to go out to eat? What are those Ubers going to cost you back from the bars at night? How about books, textbooks? They cost a fortune. How are we going to do that?
I remember the first year Nate went, we had it all figured out, and then he called me, Dad, I got my books today. It was $800, and I'm like, uh-oh, that's the one thing I didn't think about.
Yeah. And that could have been just one or two books.
Exactly. All right, college deals, be ready. Both my kids say you can normally get a free meal. You just go to a meeting somewhere, and there's always some free pizza. But there are different deals, though, at colleges, right?
Hey, the Will's got it going. I mean, that's one of the things you think of. Those free meals add up. But then people like Apple and Dell and Best Buy all have reduced pricing for buying computers and laptops. Retailers like J. Crew, Banana Republic, American Eagle, Nike, they'll all take 10 to 20% off for purchases for college kids if you can prove you're in college. Even if you like streaming music, there's great deals on Amazon Prime and other music, those streaming music places, for if you prove you're in college. Very, very inexpensive compared to what the average person has to pay.
Don't be proud. Find the deals out there. You going back to college, if your son and daughter, be highlighting them and find them. Kevin Myroff, good tips at NCA Financial Planners. Kevin, thanks much.
You bet. Have a great week, everybody.
Not illegal. There was no one did anything illegal. This should have stayed behind closed doors so that my kids don't have to deal with this. And now they have to.
He's the coach that was fired. Interesting what he says about the Powell Police Department contacting Ohio State and maybe not Urban.
I don't know this for a fact, but I believe that the Powell Police Department contacted Ohio State, not Urban, but contacted the university and told them, hey, this is ongoing. This just came to us. We wanted to let you know because he's employed at Ohio State.
That's about the 2015 incident. Here's what Urban said, of course, in Chicago a couple weeks ago.
2015, I got a text late last night that something happened in 2015, and there was nothing. Unless, once again, there's nothing. You know, once again, I don't know who creates a story like that.
And Zach Smith again.
I got arrested in 2009, mainly because the situation was a kind of a, it was just an argument gone bad. And I got arrested simply because it was 3 a.m. and they said, listen, we have to bring you in because we can't leave you here. Anytime there's a domestic allegation, we can't leave you in the same, in your residence with the other person.
All right. That's Zach Smith's side of a long story here, it sounds like. Ohio State, Mike Snyder, now says in some more detail with the investigation of Urban Meyer, their plan is to have the investigation done in 14 days. OSU President Michael Drake will then make a decision based on the findings with help from the Board of Trustees. So he wants to see who knew what, when, how this whole thing was handled. And now it's interesting, if this Zach Smith cut from Friday is correct, that the police contacted OSU, then where did that report go?
Well, where's Gene Smith in all of this?
Where is Gene? Gene's there all the time. No matter what happens, Gene Smith's okay, it seems like, every time.
Yeah, and I do really think that I don't know how this would have happened, but had Urban Meyer been forthright at the media day, as you played that clip there, I just wonder where we'd be today regarding his status as well.
He carefully came out with a new statement that was all lawyered up about maybe I was vague, I need to be more clear, blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
blah, right?
Yeah, he did. He said I failed on many of these fronts. My intention was not to say anything inaccurate or misleading, but he obviously knew. He even admitted that in his statement. So they're going to go through this. There's a lot of loose ends. Again, he said, she said too, they say in 14 days, this independent panel will have the recommendation what they should do.
There is an online petition, of course, wanting Urban to stay, wanting Ohio State not to fire him. Look, legally, let's, if you can, separate. Obviously, there was a situation between Zach Smith and his now estranged wife. Well, now they're divorced, actually. That's a sad situation, okay? That's been out in the public now with this. You've then got the politics of all of it as far as politics, meaning Ohio State, how they handle this on the PR front. Because along in the next 14 days, besides how they handled it, they got to gauge how we think they handled it when it comes to Buckeye Nation, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly. And going forward, as to how it was handled by Urban Meyer, as to how the university will look, that's a lot of what they're going to look at here going forward. And there really are, I don't know, for the information, we don't all know the whole story. So I think kind of those that say, well, they should have done more, there's certainly a case for that when you look at even though the language in Urban Meyer's contract, even though there's not there was no charges even necessarily in 2015. And then there's the other side of it that, hey, he told Gene Smith that Urban Meyer did what he could do or what he was supposed to do. So I guess that's what this panel is going to decide, and we should get something. I think they won't even wait 14 days.
You don't think so?
I think it'll be before that.
You got a guess on which way? With what you know now? I don't think he keeps his job. I don't see how. But I think if he goes, somebody else has got to go too. Gene Smith probably.
I think there's
a
chance.
Smith is amazing. He's there all the time.
Well, that's the thing.
What? I mean, look at the problems Ohio State's had over the years, and the AD, he always survived.
Heard from him. Actually, I think the other way, Bill. I think there's a chance now that he keeps his job.
You think so?
Yeah.
The longer this goes like
that
it's the statement Friday you think may have helped?
I think it did,
right.
And I just think there are enough things that, from what we know, that I think that there's a good chance that he'll keep his job.
On the field, Ohio State takes a break from camp today after practicing the previous 3 days under acting head coach Ryan Day. They return to the field tomorrow in Columbus.
I've always enjoyed playing here. I love playing here, even when it's a World Series of golf, and now it's become a bigger event, but unfortunately we have to move on, and the guys that I grew up playing against are going to be playing here next year, so we'll see how they play it.
Good way to put it. Tiger Woods talking about the WGC Bridgestone wrapped up. What a tradition it's been at Firestone over the years. Monday morning, we talk golf. Jimmy Hanlon, PGA Pro, TV host at 18 Holes Golf TV with us on WTAM 1100. Morning, Jimmy.
Hi, Billy. How are you, buddy?
Good. Before we get to Tiger and the PGA and the writer, I got to ask you, what was it like meeting Scott Scuderese, producer extraordinaire, at Firestone?
It made my whole day yesterday. And it came out of nowhere. Like, just jumped out of the trees, you know, I just made my whole day. I got to hang out with a bunch of tour players yesterday, but Scooter trumped them all.
Beautiful. I love the way you put that, yeah. Jimmy. That's great.
Actually, come to think of it, I think Tom Hamilton said the same thing. It made my day. He kind of jumped out of nowhere. I'm glad you two finally met.
Oh, boy.
I love it. Yep, yeah, good stuff.
There's
good
only
stuff.
One
it was
story.
Hot yesterday.
Yeah,
man.
It was hot. Ooh. Sad day, though. Tiger put it pretty well. I mean, and any highlight reel of his wins over the years and the money he has made, of course, will show Firestone. Right, Jimmy?
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you, you know, as much golf and as many events as I've been to in my career, Bill, I've never seen, you know, Tiger was, you know, not even close to contention yesterday. And his crowds were triple what even the leaders had when they teed off at, you know, at 2 o'clock. I mean, they just love him in Akron, and they don't care whether he's even par or 14 under. They just want him watch him hit golf shots. And I was truly stunned at the crowds that followed him around for 18 holes yesterday.
Yeah, I was out there Saturday, Jimmy, and it really was amazing to me too. And I covered the tournament way back into the early 80s years ago, following that tournament. I've never seen anything quite like that. When you look at him right now, and he really did struggle over the weekend, what do you see with Tiger? He just looked a little tired to me. Even just the way as he moved from what I saw, and I only got a glimpse for a little while. Your thoughts about him?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, you know, it's a process. I know we hear that from the Browns all the time, but it's a process that he has to go through. Number one is conditioning. Number two is, you know, playing golf in 95 degrees, which they're probably going to see at the PGA Championship this week. And really just, you know, keeping it together for four rounds. He looked great, you know, early in the week and just really couldn't find it over the weekend. And, you know, again, I think the biggest problem I've talked to you guys about earlier before is that, you know, Tiger hit more golf balls than VGA Singh back in when he was hot. I mean, the guy just practiced and worked, and he outworked everybody. He really doesn't have the capability of doing that now with the way his body is. So he's got to find other ways of when things go bad to find his game. And, you know, hopefully he can do that this week to PGA.
Jimmy Hanlon with us, PGA. Traditionally, then after the PGA, the Ryder Cup team is set. Obviously, the captain will have a couple of picks, and Tiger, I would presume, at this point?
Oh, I think it's a lock. Yeah. Tiger, Phil, for sure, are going to make that team, whether they make it by points or not. And
right.
So he won't have too many picks. You know, Tiger's a captain also, so I don't know if he'll keep that captain status and be a player, or they'll replace him as a captain. But I don't think there's any doubt that he's on that team.
You know, it's amazing. Justin Thomas, I mean, what a career he's had. And what is he, maybe 5'8", 5'9"?
Yeah, I
right?
mean, he weighs 100. He told me himself, I did a clinic with him last year at Firestone, and he told me himself he weighs 147 pounds. You know, he just, jeez, it's amazing, you know. And, he's got a lot of Ohio ties, too. His grandfather was the golf professional at Zanesville Country Club for 30-plus years. His father was a PGA professional at Montour Heights Country Club, which is just across the river over there in Pennsylvania, just outside of Pittsburgh in Coriopolis. So, mm-hmm. They pretty much grew up in this area. You know, I mean, their family is from, you know, Ohio or just across the river in Pennsylvania, which is really cool. And he's a great guy. I've got to spend a lot of time around him, and he really is just a good guy. And man, is he makes a different sound when he hits the golf ball, guys. It's just pure power.
Family of professionals. Justin Thomas wins the WGC Bridgestone at Firestone over the weekend. Jimmy Hanlon talking golf with us. Follow him on Twitter. Great follow as well. Jimmy, thanks much. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Talk to you next week.
For that special election for the congressional seat.
So why would that be a blue wave? I think it could be a red wave. I tell you what.
Yeah, he's tweeting about that this morning, saying, look, forget this red wave talk. Blue wave, if you get behind him and his policies. Meanwhile, his attorneys have to be worried about what's playing out in this investigation, the Mueller investigation. There's talk that they're closer and closer on negotiating something for Trump to testify. I want to bring in ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts on that this morning. Steve, historically, I guess in recent memory for many it would be Clinton, but there are many times over the years in this country that a president has testified while in office, a sitting president, on different situations. It is historic, but it's carefully crafted, I guess, right?
That's true. You know, this whole question of what the obligations of a sitting president are and what their vulnerabilities are is still very fluid, because there have been so few cases in American jurisprudence that test this issue. But Jay Sokolow, the president's lawyer, said yesterday that the president, if it came to that, would fight a subpoena to the Supreme Court. But there are two cases that they have to worry about. One was Richard Nixon, when the famous White House tapes were subpoenaed by the special counsel, and the courts upheld those subpoenas, Nixon was forced to turn over those tapes, and they led to his resignation. In the Clinton case, Clinton was subpoenaed to testify, and in the end testified voluntarily. And so the whole question of whether he could be forced to do it was never fully adjudicated. So on one hand, the president's lawyers are right that this issue has never been fully tested. On the other hand, there are some precedents that they have to worry about.
All right, to a casual observer, I mean, he's tweeting that the quote-unquote Russian meeting, the junior that everybody's been talking about, was totally legal. Yet, on the other hand, didn't he help write the reason they met with this lady that was looking to adopt or something, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's been misleading after misleading after misleading accounts of this meeting. Now, again, the president's lawyer said there was nothing illegal about the meeting. That might well be true. Collusion, as the president's lawyers keep saying, the president himself keeps saying, is not a crime. Conspiracy, however, is a crime. Obstruction of justice is a crime. And perhaps most threatening to the president, perjury is a crime. And the single biggest reason why the White House lawyers keep saying we do not want him to testify is the risk of perjury. We know for an absolute uncontested fact that this president fabricates and exaggerates all the time. You do that at a campaign rally in Ohio over the weekend, and okay, that's politics.
Right.
You do that in front of a grand jury where you've been sworn to tell the truth, it's much, much riskier. And they know that this president is prone to such kinds of exaggerations and fabrications that he'd be at great risk in live testimony.
Fascinating. The story as it continues to play out. Rush Limbaugh's take on that and more follows the news at noon on News Radio WTAM 1100. I mean, over the years.
Eight times, Bill.
Fly in here, make a few million and leave.
Just amazing. And yeah. I think that shows you where he is, that he could only, you know, was only even par for the week. He really struggled over the weekend.
Tough. Let's talk some Indians here. Tom Hamilton in for Falls Motor City. 2 out of 3 over the weekend. I think 4 of the last 5 they have won. We got the Twins in here tonight. Morning, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Let's start with Shane Bieber. Give him a little love. What are you seeing on the mound?
Boy, he's just got great composure, Bill. You know, he's going to give up some base hits. He never walks anybody. So the only time you get on is if you hit your way on. But he never seems to implode. He's had one bad outing, really, and that was the Pittsburgh game. But if you take that away, his other 9 starts in the major leagues, he has an ERA of a little over 3.5. So, you know, it's a great job by the Indians scouts and then their development people. I mean, this guy 2 years ago was, you know, playing in the College World Series, and he's a 4th-round pick. I don't even know. I'd have to check, but there can't be more than 1 or 2 guys from the 1st round 2 years ago that are in the major leagues, much less a 4th rounder. And I think it was really evident, like this weekend, one of the things the Angels have not done is develop from within as far as starting pitching. You know, they traded Mike Clevenger to the Indians, and then they look at the Indians, and they've got a 4th rounder beating them on Sunday. It's amazing, and this kid's got a chance to be really good for a long time.
Tom, yesterday, the bullpen finishing it off, Cody Allen coming in, did a great job in relief after Andrew Miller struggled some. You talked about it, how Allen, Han, and even Miller, when he gets really more, he needs more work, but the fact that they're willing to go in whatever the role is, and that's something you don't see a lot of times with relievers, do you? Some guys just want to be the closer, and that's it.
Well, exactly, Mike, because at the end of the day, the closer gets paid the best. I mean, at the end of the day, this is still a business, and Cody Allen's going to be a free agent, you know, at the end of this season. Those are the guys that would really be impacted by the number of save opportunities they get or the number of saves they registered. And for Cody Allen to simply say, whatever, Tito, I'm on board with whatever you want to do. You know, there aren't many bullpens where a guy that's the ninth inning guy is willing to pitch like Cody did yesterday in the seventh inning. And that's when the game was won or would have been lost yesterday with the bases loaded and Cody Allen comes in. So, you know, that's the way it's been with Cody and Andrew Miller. When he got here in 2016, you had Brad Hand to that mix. And what it gives is Tito incredible flexibility, because there are sometimes you would rather have that guy matching up with certain parts of the lineup in the seventh or eighth inning. And again, not a lot of teams would have people that unselfish. And so I think that's what really bodes well for this team when you look ahead to October.
And with Miller right now, is he kind of almost like late spring training as you look at him trying to get back?
Yeah, that's a good analogy, Mike. I mean, he even mentioned it to Tito the other day. He goes, sitting in the bullpen and hearing the bullpen phone ring, he goes, I've got to get acclimated to that again, because there's that immediate adrenaline rush, and now you've got to get ready in a short order. When you go and pitch in minor league rehab games, it's like spring training. You know, when you come to the ballpark, okay, you're going to pitch the seventh inning today and whatnot. Now when you're in a major league game, you don't know when you're going to be used. And so, yeah, he just needs to, you know, continue to knock the rust off and fine-tune it. I'm sure he's going to be fine. He's healthy. That's the main thing. And the other thing is you've got a 9-game lead. So you've got the, you know, the ability to use him. Maybe if you lose a game, you lose a game. But you need him to get sharp and get his work in. And I think in a couple of weeks, we'll see the old Andrew Miller.
Good stuff. Tom Hamilton tonight with the Gambling.com Tribe Insider, starting our coverage with Nick Camino at 6. Hammy and Rosie with the call 710 on News Radio WTAM 1100, home of the Tribe. Game 1, Tribe Twins tonight. Thanks, Tom.
You bet. Thanks, guys.